Praise God, praise God. Testing, testing. Okay, praise God. We just thank God for, you know, each and every one of y'all this morning. And, you know, I'm excited about what the Lord is doing in all of our lives. Thank God for Minister Baldwin and Shanti also as well. And Mr. Baldwin, your sermon is on the website. But I got to get with Dee. We're going to make a correction. We gave you a different last name, but we're going to get that fixed. We got the first name right, but we're going to get the last name right as well. But I was listening to the sermon. It was awesome. You know, and you know what? I thank God for the website, because you know what? You hear differently when you hear it again. And, you know, Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And hearing. So you got to hear it more than one time before it gets down in your spirit. And when you hear it repeatedly, then you'll have a connection that becomes a rhema word to you. In other words, a word that you can live by. Word that you know that you know that you know, and you'll have faith to live by that. So I just thank God for the technology. Thank God for the avenue of the word. And like I say, I just thank God that I know that this is a service ordained by Almighty God. And you know why I know it is? Because we've been having some things where the enemy doesn't want people outside this room to hear the service. But by the grace of God, we take authority over those airways in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we just command you to technology. We loose your whole enemy. We loose your hold on those airways, and we declare that Jesus Christ is the Prince of the power of the air. Jesus Christ is there where he's not like the devil, but we take authority over them and anything that will disrupt their service in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You know, I just thank God. My sister's on the line, and then my dad and the caregiver, they're on the line. They're trying to listen to the service. There's some technical things, but by the grace of God, they've been taken care of. But you know what? One thing about it, the enemy doesn't want this word to get out. You know why he doesn't want the word to get out? Because I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is doing in our lives, collectively and individually. I'm excited. When we make a determined decision in our life that we're going to seek God with our whole heart, that's when the blessings of God come down. Amen? When the praises go up, what? The blessings come down. So guess what? When we decide that, God, you're all that I need, you're more than enough, I don't want anything but you, I desire you. And I desire you and you alone. When we tell God that, and we show God that, that's when he gets intimate with us. And that's when he really starts giving us desires of heart. And I thank God for the church that, even when I mentioned about we're going to go on a fast, and all of you, did your part, and I thank God for you, all of you did your part. And then not only that, we didn't make it a ritual where we had to just fast on Wednesday or something like that. But I would just listen to you guys and everything, just y'all's talking. And I see that y'all went on individual fast days as the Lord led y'all. And so that's what I want us to do, live a fasted life. Not get in religion's a ritual or something like that, but like the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees did and everything. They got their reward because they were walking around with their lips dry and white, and they were telling everybody they're fasting. They were walking around like they were weak and tired and stuff. And then people say, well, what's wrong with you? Oh, I've been fasting, So they got the reward from man, not from God. But you did it in secret, and God is rewarding you openly. I see it. I see it on each and every one. I see the glory of God on each and every one of you guys. And, I thank God for even Shante. It really blessed me when she came and she said, Pastor, I have a word I'd like to give. And I said, yeah. I said, okay. And then I said, next Sunday. And I tell you, I was excited. And I know Minister Baldwin, she was a proud mom. She was excited to hear what Shante was doing. But you know what? You all have treasures hidden in earthen vessels that God has given you. And it's our desire as pastors to make you whole in every area of your life. And we want God to use you. And when you have a word from the Lord, you know what? This is not our service. It's the Lord's service. You know, we're just the under-shepherds. But Jesus is the chief shepherd. Amen. And he's our boss. So we have a boss that we have to listen to. So whenever a word from the Lord comes and you have it and you have a burning desire to give it, we're not going to say you can't speak it. Because guess what? We need to be fed as well. And we need to hear from the Lord ourselves. And the gift of God, the talents that God has put in you, we want to see them come to fruition. Amen. We want them to see it come to fruition. That's what our heart is. Our heart is to grow up leaders, not followers. People that know who they are in Christ. And when you know who you are in Christ, then you can be a good representative of Him in the earth realm. And in your spirit of influence. And people will say, it's something different about you. It's something different about you. They don't know what it is, but then they want to be in your presence. Why? Because it's anointing that breaks every yoke. And when you come in their presence and you spend time with the Lord and you have know Him on a personal basis, guess what happens? People can sense that tangible anointing and they want to draw from you. They want to pull on you, don't they? Because they sense that you did something, that you've been with God. I even see, even in the praise and worship, I see a great intensity in the praise and worship. And one thing about it is when we worship God, with our whole heart, then it brings Him to the scene. He shows up and He shows out. You know what? God is not welcome in some churches. I mean, they got a program, and they got to stick to that program. So they don't have any time for God. Well, God, you know, Pastor, you know, he wrote his message, and I got to speak my message, and then we got to be in it and out by in 1 hour, and then we got to go to the restaurant and everything, and we don't want to be late, so we got to stick to our scheduled program. But guess what? Any time you come here, the service that we plan is to be preempted by the Holy Spirit, amen. Because you know what? I want to hear from God, amen. I don't want y'all to come see a man or see a woman, but I want you to see Jesus, amen. I want you to see Jesus. I introduce you to Jesus. In fact, you already know who Jesus is, but I want you to not see a man, but I want you to sense the manifold, tangible presence of the Lord, amen. And so this morning when I was I want a confirmation from the Lord that, you know, the subject that he told me to speak on was something that would minister grace to all of us. And I got the confirmation when I heard Carrie read from Psalms 41. And so basically we're going to be talking about the greatest commandment this morning, the greatest commandment. Now, we're still continuing in with the subject about you can have what you say. Because your words define who you are. Your words create the world that you actually live in today. The words that you spoke in the past. So we got to realize that we got to put a guard over our mouth. And we got to speak on what God says about us. But one thing about it is, there's two commandments. Did you know in the Old Testament they had over 613? Some theologian did it. I didn't do it. But anyway, a theologian, they said there's 613 commandments that the Jews had to keep in order to be justified before God. Over 613 commandments they had to keep. If they missed one commandment, they were not justified before God. So you know what the law taught them? That they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it on their own. They missed them one point, they were unworthy. So the priests had to go once a year in the Holy of Holies and offer up sacrifices before the people. But then it was continually done. Every year he had to do the same thing. But when Jesus came, he said it is finished when he died on the cross, didn't he? So Jesus offered up a sacrifice one time. And it says the temple, the veil in the temple was rent in two. So now we have easy access, direct access to our Heavenly Father, don't we? We can come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and help in time of need. Hebrews 4, it tells us that. Hebrews 4 and 16. So I thank God we have a better covenant. We have a better covenant, right? Each and every one of us have a better covenant. We can have covenant. Open access to the Father. But the one thing about it, you know what? The religious folks in Jesus' day, they really tried to trip him up and trap him up. But he operated by the Spirit of God. And so guess what? They couldn't trap him up. And so they tried to ask him some hard questions to the religious folks, and then he answered them, and then so this other lawyer came by and he said, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? You remember that? And he told him this. He said, well, He said, all the commandments are bound up in this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. And he said, and the second is likened to the first commandment. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Hey, you see? So basically, those are the two greatest commandments. So if I can give you anything encouragement today, I want to just exhort you to just love God first. Love God first. If you love God, then all your concerns, all your cares, all your worries, they're going to evaporate in His presence. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. So love God. So how do you show God that you love Him? How do you go? You know, Jesus, when He walked on His earthly ministry, did you know He had 12 disciples? But every time He did any miraculous work, there was always three alongside Him. And a lot of theologians call Him Jesus' cabinet. And you know the name, Peter, James, Peter, James, and John. Every time He did something. When Jairus, remember we're talking about Jairus' daughter was, when Sister Beverly said, she's talking about Jairus' daughter was sick, and he asked Jesus to go to her and heal her. And so Jesus put out all the doubters. He put all the naysayers out. But He had Peter, James, and John to stay. And then He had the parents of Jairus' daughter, who was 12 years old, stay there. And He healed her. So every time Jesus did anything significant, and He had those three people with Him. Now, did that mean He didn't love His other nine disciples? No. But guess what? Those disciples, they loved Him so much. They would love Him so much, they always wanted to be in His presence. They listened to Him differently than the other nine did. Other nine, one we knew was Judas. You know, he was the devil. But anyway, the other eight, they listened to Him, but they listened to Him differently. When you love somebody, you listen to them in a different way. You listen to them where you want to do things that will please them. I told Cecilia 33 years ago, and I stood before Bishop Mays, and I confessed before God and the whole world that I was going to honor and cherish her till death do us part. Okay, now, she could suspect that maybe I missed it or I forgot it if I don't want to spend no time with her. Now, I think, you know, I'm going to tell you what. I had a great time. Ladies, I had a great time. Me and the men, we had a great time last night. We were fellowshipping at the movies, bonding together, the men. And we had a great time. We saw Apollo Creed, amen? It was a good movie. It was a good time. But the fellowship, the movie was great, but the fellowship was even greater. But, you know, I thank God that, you know, she was just coming back from Brunswick, so she was probably tired. She was probably glad that she could get some rest. And I was leaving, praise God. But you know what? I can't do that all the time, hang out with the fellas. Guess what? I'm a married man. She's number one in my life, other than Jesus Christ. Amen. She's the number. So I got to give her time. If I say, well, hey, Dee and Rasheem and Maurice and all the fellas are just going and they're going to hang out and eat pizza and just fellowship. Well, guess what? I can't do that. I'm a married man. I got to love her first. Okay? I got to show her that I love her. You know how I show her that I love her? By spending time with her. Just spending time with her. She's the most precious thing in my life, and I got to show her that. I not only can say it, but I have to put faith. Faith is what? Without works is what? Dead. So if I say I love her and I don't ask it, show her, then she can question whether I really love her. God's the same way. God's the same way. We say we love God, but you say, yeah, and you worship me with your lips. But in actions, actually, there's a disconnect. It's incongruent. So he said, the religious folk, they would love me with their lips, but then when I'd ask them to do something, then they don't do it. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I tell you to do? So the first thing, if you want God to bless you, and I got both hands up. How many of us want God to bless us? Amen. I want the blessing of God to overtake me. Amen. So guess what? You know what? God is not giving His blessing to people that just call Him once a week and once a month and say, hey, Lord, I love you. No, He's giving His blessing to people that are connected to Him, people that are family, amen, that have a relationship with Him. People that have a relationship, they get the blessings. You know what? I thank God for my children. But when me and Cecilia go on to be with the Lord, guess what? And our children are still alive. Guess what? Every one of our kids, they get our inheritance. Why? Because their last name is Hicks. They get our inheritance, and they're our children. Adrian, Alexis, Junior, whatever we get, the inheritance, we split it with our children. And the Bible says a good man leaves inheritance to his children, to his children's children. So I'm not just going to, like people in the world say, well, I ain't leaving nothing to them. I'm gonna live it up. I'm going to spend my last dime. No, that's not biblical. They're not scriptural. If you go to Psalms 112, you know, it says your family is blessed, your children's children are blessed, you leave a legacy. And guess what? I ain't smart enough to know how to get rich. I ain't smart enough to realize how to make a good deal. But guess what? God's smart. If I will love him, he'll give me the desires of my heart. He'll give me what I need. Not only give me what I need, but he give me the desires of my heart. He say, can I trust you, Rasheem? If I told you to go talk to Brother Smith and tell him about the Lord, would you say, well, Lord, you know, I got this engagement and so-and-so, I'm not going to be able to make it. Can you tell D to do it? You know, no, that's not showing that you love God, is it? But I mean, you know what? God knows that he can trust Rasheem. If he tell him to go witness to Brother Smith, he'll do it. And you know what? When God can have that confidence in you that you're going to obey him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll bless your socks off. He'll bless your socks off. Now, y'all might not understand what that saying means, but usually when I get to my mother-in-law's house in Brunswick, you know, the first thing I do, I get to the house, and then I take my socks off. I walk around barefoot. I'm comfortable in her house, and she's cool with it. But when I get comfortable and I get to know you, I take my shoes off. Now, when I take my shoes off, I'm at home. And that's how we need to be with our daddy. Kick your shoes off. Your daddy wants you to kick your shoes off. He wants you to forget the form of finality. He just wants you to have fellowship with him. Talk to your daddy like you talk to D, like you talk to Josh, like you talk to Shante, like you talk to Minister Bowen, like you talk to Pastor Cece, like you talk to my sweet daughter-in-law, like you talk to Junior, like you talk to Rachel. Talk to God the same way. Forget the religious mumbo jumbo, but say, Daddy, it's your son, it's your daughter today, and I just want to have fellowship with you. And I'm gonna put my shoes back on, but I just want illustration that I'm just illustrating that when I get comfortable, I kick my shoes off. So when you get with your daddy, kick your shoes off. Tell your daddy, love on your daddy, amen. Love on your daddy. Now, one thing about it is, when you get up early in the morning, and you decide that I'm gonna worship you, God. I'm not gonna ask you for nothing. I just wanna let you know that I love you. And if you don't do another thing for me, Lord God, I just wanna let you know that I love you. I love you. I love you. You know what the angels are doing? The angels in heaven are doing right now? They're crying out, holy, 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 continually. Continue. In the fourth chapter of Revelation, it said that the seraphim, the angels, they bow down before a throne. Say, worthy, worthy, worthy are you, Lord God Almighty. And they cry out daily. Let's go to Revelation, the fourth chapter. Revelation, the fourth chapter. Oh, okay. I know why I couldn't find what I wrote because I got the wrong notebook. But praise God. I was looking for the notes. But praise God. Thank God the word is in you. Amen. Praise God. But Revelation 4. And let's go to that. Now, this is what's happening in heaven. You know what? As believers, did you know we can pray the Lord's Prayer? That it be in on earth as it is in heaven? And see, that's what we should desire in our sphere of influence. Okay, now, Revelation 4 and 8 verse through the 11th verse. And could I get somebody to read that, please? Revelation 4. Okay, thank you. King James. Yeah, that's the Bible that Jesus preached in. No, I'm just joking. Okay. Mm-hmm.
and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
So we see God is worthy of all honor, glory, and praise, and even at the throne of God, they worship. The elders worship. The 24 elders, they worship day and night, saying, Holy, 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 you are worthy, Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power. So guess what? Should it be any different with us if we're created in God's image? If we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, should it be any different with us? Should it be any different with us? So it shouldn't be any different with us. Now, what happened is, when you set time, a quality time, well, how many realize that all of us are busy? All of us got certain things to go. Like, in fact, I went to Brunswick, and I came back early because Dee had to go, be at work that Friday. So I used that as an excuse to leave and everything. But I came back because I had to do some other stuff. But I actually did some stuff around the house and stuff that I've been putting off. Now, next time y'all go to the kitchen sink, y'all going to thank God that I replaced it. And that sink that we had, the faucet we had, was 18 years old. So it gave up the ghost, so we had to replace it, praise God. But thank God, you know, for a new faucet. But anyway, I had to do some things around the house, you know. And I thank God for this house. It's a blessing. But sometimes you have to maintain your blessing, amen. You know, it's stewardship. When everything God gives you, even a car, you say, God bless me with this car, hallelujah. Well, change the oil in the blessing if you want to keep it. If you never change the oil in the blessing, and then you get ready to go from point A to point B, don't get mad at the car because the car broke down. You didn't get a car no attention. You didn't change the oil. The car was just saying, please give me some attention. No, but you did. So stewardship, blessings require stewardship. So what happened? So I had to fix it. So there's a lot of things that I had to do. But guess what? I'm not any more busier than anyone else in the room. All of us have our plates loaded, don't we? All of us have our plates loaded and things that we need to do. But when you carve time out for God and say, God, you're the most important thing in my life, and I want to spend time with you. You know what happened? God, you give God 15 minutes. Remember we talk about 15 minutes? When we get up in the morning, we're 15 minutes. We're just going to praise God and not ask for anything and just worship him. And guess what? When you give God 15 minutes, guess what? God will cause in 1 minute to happen stuff to happen for you that you couldn't even do it in a month. You couldn't even do it in a year. God will cause supernatural things to manifest in your life that you need. And a lot of times we don't even know. The Bible says we don't even know how we should pray as we ought to, right? But the Holy Spirit has all knowledge. He is God. He has all knowledge. So when we pray in our spirit prayer language, and then also when we give time to God, the stuff that we didn't even know we need to protect, guess what? God's going to protect us. God's going to protect us. God will give you insight and concepts into a deal where you didn't have the sense to even know you need to make the deal. But supernaturally, by the Spirit of God, he'll drop a word, just one word, and say, buy this. And you don't even understand it, but you know that God is speaking, and you go buy it. And then guess what? God will cause people that what you just bought would pay 10 times, sometimes more, pay for, you know, than what you paid for it. And then you prosper. So God has a million ways to make his children prosper. But first of all, he wants us to love him first. When we show God that we love him, he'll give us the desires of our heart. So first, it has to be worship. Now, if you look at worship, the definition for worship, it says reverential honor and homage paid to God or a sacred personage. But from Psalms 41 that Kerr read, we realize that God is, he's the only God. Beside him, there is none else. You know, how can we worship things made with our hands? How can we worship things that can't even speak? Idols can't even speak or whatever. You know, idol can be anything that you put before God. Well, God, I would do that, but, you know, I just don't have the resource or the time. to do it, and I wish I did. Well, guess what? The woman with the widow's mite, remember the widow's mite? Every time you read about her in the Bible, you realize what sacrificial giving is. She gave all of her substance. The widow's mite gave all of her substance. And then the other people, the rich people, and they gave maybe God a, maybe, just make it down in the modern times, they might have gave her $10,000, they may have gave her $20,000, they made in the offering. But guess what? That was just a tip to them. They were millionaires. That was just a tip. They were just tipping God. They weren't even giving God 10%. But it looked like they gave God a lot of money, right? $10,000, $20,000, it looked like you're giving God a... But really, that wasn't even 10% of what they were actually made. They weren't even tithing on the blessing that God blessed them with. So you can't look at the outward appearance, but God, who sees everything, he saw that he really praised, Jesus praised the widow. He said she gave out of all her substance. She gave into the kingdom of God. So God looks at your heart. And when your heart is to be with him, to just worship him, just obey him, then he'll bless you. Now, I'll say. Remember, we talked about the greatest commandment, the first commandment. In fact, the first commandment. Well, if you go to Matthew 22, chapter 22nd chapter, verses 36 through 40, that's where it talks about the greatest commandment. You know, there are actually 10 commandments, right, that were written down. But, in the Old Testament, they were supposed to follow. But we can't even follow the 10. So we can't even follow the 10. We couldn't follow the 613. God gave us a break and gave us 10 commandments. We can't even follow the 10. We can't even follow the 10 commandments. Not in our own power. But guess what? Jesus said, okay, I'm gonna make it even easier for you. The two greatest commandments. He said all the law is summed up in this. Two greatest commandments, love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know what? When you say you love God and we go to church and people see that you go to church and everything and see that you have a Bible and you talk about this, that, and other, you know what? They don't want you to hit them over the head with your 5-pound Bible or your iPhone 6 or something, you know, because that's where you have your Bible at. But I mean, what they're looking for? Do you have mercy? Do you have mercy? Do you love me? You say you love God, but do you love me? That's what they're looking for. So if we say we love God, then we ought to act like God, right? You know what? God is concerned about the lost. God is thankful about the 99 sheep that aren't lost. But if one of those sheep come, if a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, you know, he'll leave those 99 and go after that one that's lost and redeem him. And then when he gets them back there, he'll celebrate because that one that was lost, now he's found. God is the same way. God wants, he does not want any person created in this image to go to hell. So when we get concerned about the things that concern God, that's when God really will. You know what? I thank God for the praise and worship. I thank God for the praise and worship that we had today. It was glorious. But guess what? You know what? We're supposed to do that all the time. Even in our home, we're supposed to worship Him all the time. In fact, when we practice this, we should be able to sense in the Spirit of God at will. Now, I'm not saying when you are breaking everything you're supposed to do in your job, then all of a sudden you're going to get religious and, oh, Lord, hallelujah. You know, no. I'm talking about on your break, on your lunch if you're fasting something. Then get in your closet, or get in your car. But after them 15 minutes, break is over, you go back to work, okay? But instantaneously, you should be able to sense the presence of God and feel the Spirit of God. Because guess what? Spirit of God lives in what? We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So Apostle Paul told his son in the faith, Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that's in you, right? Stir up the gift that's in you. So we can stir up the gift of God in us. Amen? And we can pray in the Spirit, and we can invoke the presence of God right instantaneously. So When we start worshiping God in the car, at the grocery store, when he gives us a good deal and it's a sale, oh, Lord, I thank you, you know. And you know, no, really, really, because he does that. He does. He blesses us. And then just let it be a routine thing that we automatically do. That's when God will bless us. And then the second thing is, you got to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay, God, I love you, and I told you, Lord, I raised my hands before I lift my hands in adoration and worship to you because you are the Most High God. Besides you, there is none else. But then when I get to my brother, and I don't walk in love to my brother, then guess what? God sees that too. God sees that too. And you know what? God is keeping, there's books written in heaven on everything we do. Every idle word we do, they're written. But guess what? Even if we did something wrong to our brother, if we repent and say, God, forgive me, the Holy Spirit, he's quick to, he doesn't want to be grieved, so he quickly tells us, and then we say, Lord, forgive me. Guess what? Guess what? There's a big old racer in heaven. They race that out. Jesus, God doesn't even remember it. Not, God's not seen now, but what's wrote? The blood of Jesus covers all our sins. So we got to walk in a constant attitude that we're in the presence of God. And we got to be careful how we deal with other people. Amen? You know, Joyce Meyer says that hurting people hurt other people. If they don't know, they don't know God like you. They don't know the love of God. They're not filled with baptized in the Holy Spirit. They don't know God like you. So guess what? How can they love, give you something that they don't have, Shante? How can they give you? So guess what? You chose to love them anyway, even though your friend wasn't treating you right. You chose to love her with the love of God, and now she's one of your best friends, isn't it? But see, that's how we got to do. We got to realize that person that's trying to aggravate me, trying to mess up my day, that's not my enemy. That's a potential brother or sister in the Lord. So I got to pray them into the kingdom. I got to show them that I am a living epistle read of all men. Because I say I love Jesus, but they trying to look. Is there any fruit? They have fruit inspection. Okay, you say you love Jesus. You say you belong to him. Is there any fruit in your life? So once you show the fruit, guess what? That's when you'll have an open door to speak into their life. And then they'll say, I want to go. Where do you go to church? Where do you go? And then you can bring them to church. You can bring them to church. But they got to see some evidence first. Amen? So if you say you love you know, we were talking about this last night. And I just wanted to fellowship with the fellas. And I'm glad they let the old man come along with them and everything. I felt young. I went with them and everything. I felt like I was in my 30s and 20s or whatever. But can I let y'all know something? When Junior was in Tallahassee and he was doing them concerts, and I would go up there and do them concerts, I'd be in the front row. They give me a front row seat, treat me with a lot of respect and everything. And they begin jumping up and dancing, worship till I pray, you know, till I pass out and everything. And I'd be doing that. And guess what? I felt like I was 18, you know, 20 or what. But guess what? On the way home and the next day, my buddy said, oh, now, hey, Pop. Hey, Pop, watch out now. but you understand the liberty that you have and everything. So I thank God for them even inviting me. But I didn't mean to say that. But anyway, I start telling them about that the law of reciprocity. Now, I love that. Oh, okay. Let me repeat that. The law rests of what? Okay.
Reciprocity.
Okay. That's what. Okay. Well, thank you. She's an English teacher, so thank you. but anyway, what that means is that you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. That's a late turn. You reap what you sow. Yeah, Pat Robinson on the 700 Club, I heard him say that one time, and I just liked it. I said, wow, that's kind of deep for saying that you reap what you sow, you know. Yeah, it's a big word for that. But you know what? If you treat somebody wrong and you don't repent of that or take advantage of somebody, guess what? God sees that. And it's going to come back to you. Unless you repent, it's going to come back to you. You know who is the avenger of the poor, the helpless, the defenseless, the widows? You know who defends them? God. God defends them. So when you do, when you mess over them, guess what? You messed over God. God sees it, and guess what? You're going to reap what you sow. But yet you say you love Jesus. You love God. You love, oh, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. You know, you love him, and you just, but then you see your brother D, and then you say, well, how can I trick him out of $20? You know, you know what I'm saying? No, but you understand? God sees that. How can the love of God be in you if you want to do that? So the message today is this. If we'll keep those two commandments that Jesus told us to do, that's when we're going to start bearing fruit. That's where we're going to start bearing fruit. And guess what? Then what happens is when we see that and God sees that he can trust us, that's when God's going to bless us beyond our wildest imagination. There's a guy in Korea, and we went to his church when we were stationed in Korea, Pastor Paul Yi Cho. And he almost had a nervous breakdown. Has one of the biggest churches in Korea, and where they have satellite church, and they watch them over the on the internet and satellite and things like that. But he has like thousands of pastors in his satellite church and stuff. But he was trying to do everything and be everything to everybody. And the Lord told me, look, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to have a nervous breakdown. You're going to kill yourself. He said, look, I know you got a lot on your plate, but if you'll just spend quality time with me, I'll make sure you have more than enough time to get the stuff done that you need to do. Because you don't even know what you need to do in a lot of places. And you're trying to get it all done by yourself. And so God told him, he said, look, spend time with me. So what he started doing, he started praying in the Spirit 3 hours a day. And guess what? When he walked up to the pulpit and spoke, he met everybody's needs. The words that he spoke by the Spirit of God met everybody's needs. And it brought correction and love. So everything that, in fact, the Holy Spirit would even tell him things. Hey, so-and-so and so-and-so, boom. And he'd get correction. He'd call that pastor and say, this is what you need to do. This is happening in your church, and this is what you need to do. You need to correct it. But he wouldn't have known to do that by himself. But because he made a decision to spend 3 hours praying in the Spirit and spending time with God, everything that he needed was on his plate. God took care of it. And guess what? He had plenty of quality time, not only to spend with God, but to spend with his family. And then spend with church. And he didn't wear himself out. But if he had to try to do it all on his own, guess what? He would have had a nervous breakdown. He would have left the earth prematurely, not because God wanted him to do it, but because he wore himself out. Because he didn't rest in the arms of Jesus. Now, in Hebrews, and we're going to close with this, in Hebrews, I love this scripture in Hebrews. It said, if we're going to labor, let us labor to enter into his rest. So if I'm going to labor, I'm not going to labor to the fact where I'm going to work my fingers down to a bone and die an early death, but I'm going to labor to enter into his rest. In his presence is fullness of joy. What do you need? Just go to Jesus. Go to your Father. Love on him. And when you do that, you put your labor in that regard, you'll have success beyond your wildest imagination. So that's what I'm encouraging each and every one of you to do. Get to know Jesus in an intimate way. Worship him. And I thank God for the praise and worship here collectively and corporately. But then get to know him in your own personal time. And just and when you do that, now I had several scriptures that I wrote in here, but I'm just going to share this with you, some of them. For 2 Kings 34 and verses 39. 2 Kings, 17 chapter, verses 34 through 39. 2 Kings, the 17th chapter, verses 34 through 39. Okay, John 4 and 24, very familiar passage of scripture. God desires those that worship him in spirit and truth, right? Remember, he was telling the woman at the well, Samaria. And what I liked about that passage, read that on your own time, but what I liked about that, at the beginning of that chapter, fourth chapter, he said that Jesus said, I need to go to Samaria. In other words, I have to go to Samaria. He had an appointment with that Samaritan woman. Jews didn't even have any dealing with the Samaritan, but he had an appointment with that. That was the only reason he went to Samaria, to go have an encounter with the woman at the well. And then, and he told it, to, and through that discourse, he told us that God is looking for true worshipers, those that worship in spirit and truth. And then Psalms 8 and 2, that'll be the last verse. And it says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of the, thine enemies, that thou may mightest distill the enemy and the avenger. So that's Psalms 8 and 2. In other words, when we praise God, our enemies that come against us, that try to destroy us, God will cause them to even, the weapon that they form against us to not even prosper. And we don't even know that they're plotting against us. Now, Daniel, I want to be bold like Daniel. Now, Daniel had some haters. So his haters went to the king and knew that the king loved Daniel because he had an excellent spirit. And they went up to the king and said, look, king, you know, you need to make a decree that nobody for the next so many days can make any petition up to anyone but you, because you're the most high king and there's nobody besides you. And the king liked that, and he said, yeah, that's good. And he wrote the decree. And they knew that Daniel was praying every day at a certain time. So when Daniel heard that they had wrote the decree, the king had signed it, Daniel didn't go hide in the closet and shut the door and everything and keep praying. No, you know what he did? You know what Daniel did? He opened the curtains wide. And he prayed. He didn't change anything. He didn't change anything. And guess what? They went back to the king and said, you know, O king, you made a decree. And you know, once the king writes a decree, it cannot be broken. It has to come to pass. And so guess what? They had to throw Daniel in the lion's den. And you know what? The king couldn't sleep that night. He was just worried, wringing his hand. Couldn't sleep that night. And the next morning, he got him. He said, how's Daniel doing? And he looked in there and saw Daniel was resting and sleeping on the line. Sleep. And then guess what? All of his counselors and everything that told him to write that decree, he threw them, all of their family, all their children, all their livestock. Everything that was connected to them, he threw in the lion's den. And guess what? The lions had a feast. The lions had a feast. So guess what? When you honor God, in spite of who's talking ugly against you, and you don't let what the naysayers stop you from doing what you know you need to do, and pray homage to the Most High God, God's going to exalt you above your enemies. Psalms 23. He's going to keep your enemies alive so that they can see you're blessed. And then he'll throw them in the lion's den maybe. You know, it depends on God. And all their children. But he's going to keep them alive long enough to see that you're blessed. So praise God. So that's all I have. It may seem like a simple message, but it's profound if we'll just do it. And I'm pleased with what I see you guys are doing. I mean, I can see the fire. I can see the zeal, the fire of God in your hearts. I can look in your eyes and see it. You know, the eyes are the windows of the soul. I can see it. I can see by the way that you walk. I see it by the way you talk. I see the growth in you. And guess what? What I'm telling y'all, I'm doing myself. What I'm telling y'all, I'm doing myself. And I want God, and I want Him more than anything in my life. Amen? So I just applaud you for what you're doing, and I see this journey. And can we continue on this journey together, church? Praise God.